Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A new study out says that stricter handgun laws allow for rather lower gun murder rates in cities. And I know immediately a lot of us say, well, wait a minute, what about Chicago, et cetera, et cetera, and Illinois having a tough gun law? But let's delve into this a little bit deeper, drill down with Dr. Eric Fliegler, a pediatric emergency physician and health services researcher at Boston Children's Hospital. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Tommy?
I'm well, thank you. And the other thing I will add is that the American Medical Association is calling for stricter gun control to fight what it calls a public health crisis. Is it a public health crisis in the country, doctor, and what does this survey show?
Sure. So, you know, to understand whether this is a crisis or not, you have to understand how many people are being hurt and injured. So there are roughly 38,000 people who will die every year now in the United States from firearms. About 60% of those are firearm suicides and 40% firearm homicides. This is about a 25% increase from about 3 or 4 years ago. So we've really seen a pretty dramatic increase. To put it in context, this is nearly identical to the number of people who are killed every year from motor vehicle collisions.
So in terms of, and I see a story here about the violence in Chicago, that a lot of that is fueled by social media, where in essence the flashing of gang signs, etc., has become electronic and taken itself to social media. It flies around. That leads to shootings and retaliations, etc. How do you go from the social conditions to it being the gun? And I understand that without the gun, you can't shoot anybody, but how do you keep the guns from getting into the hands of the bad guys?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So Chicago in particular has been having for more than a decade now, a very significant gang violence problem that is very unfortunate for Chicago. Fortunately for the rest of the country, that's not a representation of who's being typically killed when it comes to firearm homicides. Most firearm homicides are not the context of a gang, but are actually representations of interpersonal violence. These are people who know one another, including people who are experiencing domestic violence. And so, you know, while the firearm laws that we're talking about may not affect specific criminal activity, people who are illegally purchasing guns, this is more about how the laws affect guns that are purchased that are then used in a homicide that may have occurred between two people who are colleagues or were friends or husband and wife and boyfriend and girlfriend.
Doctor, when it comes to the specific rules here, making it tougher to buy guns, a lot of people that are pro-guns NRA immediately hear that and think infringement on the Second Amendment. Other people that look at the process think, well, the bad guys are going to get the guns anyway. How does this work, or from what you've seen and talked to, I guess, trying to patch up some teenagers that have been shot? What do you hear? What does your experience tell you in terms of how the weapons are obtained, and intuitively from your gut, how something like this makes sense and it would help?
Sure. So if you want to know the biggest predictor of how many people are going to be killed by guns in any given state, what you need to look at is how many guns are available. The more guns there are, the more likelihood that they are going to be used to kill somebody, whether it's by homicide or by suicide. That has been shown going back decades. As to, you know, the counterintuitive notion of this and the concept of, well, if laws can be bypassed by bad guys, do the laws make a difference? Well, any law can be bypassed by anybody. It doesn't mean that the laws don't have a value, no different than speeding laws. We know that speeding laws, absolutely, you know, putting a limit on how fast you can drive in particular areas around the country, has a real effect on decreasing fatalities.
And just to make that, I'm sorry, doctor, but just to make that relevant to people, we had a horrific situation yesterday where a Porsche basically became airborne, killed somebody in the other lane and killed the two people in the Porsche because they were going 100 miles an hour. So you can make a counter argument saying, well, they had a speed limit there. Those people decided not to abide by it. But you can't have one rule that fits all and presume that everybody is going to follow those rules. You have to look at the whole picture.
Right. And with regards to the notion of this being an infringement on the Second Amendment, gun laws don't prohibit the purchase of guns. What they do is they make sure that they're purchased by people who are, when they're being lawfully purchased, that they're purchased by people who are deemed appropriate to purchase them, or more importantly, people who are not appropriate to purchase them, and that's the specifics of this study, do not have access to them. And we've seen this in multiple studies, have looked at this to say, you know, what happens when various types of laws come in and out? And for going back, you know, about two decades or so, we've seen that laws can have a positive impact on decreasing both firearm homicides and firearm suicides. You know, I live in a state of Massachusetts where there are a lot of laws, but there are plenty of people who own guns. Matter of fact, I come from a family where multiple family members own guns. They're lawfully purchased. It's nothing that's prohibited them from doing it. But what we've seen in Massachusetts in the context of these laws is that we actually have both the lowest firearm homicide and firearm suicide rates in the United States.
Because of mental health when it comes to suicides, which certainly has been in the news lately with the celebrity suicides of Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade. In terms of that 35%, I think it was, or 40% homicide rate, suicide. I'm sorry. Explain that to me, doctor. I took notes, but I can't read them.
No, that's no problem. Of the 38,000 people who die from firearms in the United States, 60% of those are suicide and 40% are homicide.
Dr. Eric Fliegler, pediatric emergency physician and health services researcher at Boston's Children's Hospital.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.